Good morning, good Saturday morning to everybody, or good Saturday afternoon, whichever. I have to say, we're going to probably keep in the same lines as Stephen Douglas Whitener's last show. Good heavens. Seems like the world is waking up really quick and everybody's yelling and screaming to the top of their lungs, which is really what we need. And before I move into what I would like to say and what the importance of my subject matter is, let me just say this for Stephen Douglas Whitener's show, just to wrap up my thoughts on that and ask you who said this quote. Those who make quiet revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Uh-huh. We know who said that. JFK said that. So that's a lot of what we're talking about. And this is the premise of my show, Luca's World, is to give people information on what I know and not necessarily tell you this is the truth and nothing but the truth. No. This resonates with me. I'm sharing it with you. What do you think? That's what I'm doing on Luca's World. Just like what we're going to do today, and we're probably going to have to split it into two shows because there's a lot of info. But I still want to get the callers in after the half hour, maybe, just so you get an idea of what's going on. Very quickly, the numbers to call are 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443. This is big, folks, and this is a huge element in what is going on. It's actually the biggest element ever since before 9/11, if you will. So some of you may have heard me say before, like on this show, 30 years ago, I've always asked God to make me a bridge between those who know so much about what's going on and those who are just starting out on their personal journey of awareness, and give me a job to do, you know, make me useful. So as Uhura says in Star Trek once, you know, you have to be careful what you wish for because you may get it. And according to Daughtry, that song and a whole lot more that you don't want, right? So here goes. Well, my wish came true, people. One day when I was listening to Ole Damegaard with Irma interviewing some guy named Cody. And what you're about to hear is Cody's story. And the reason for my disclosing it after years of safekeeping and making sure it remained hidden and protected as a treasure is because, in general, what sleeping people need, or what those that are still, you know, stumbling on the path and that aren't really sure what road to go down, and, well, this could be conspiracy, they need a shock. They need truth like they never heard it before or rarely heard it before. They need names. They need places. They need proof of what governments are up to in a big way. Okay, so the Oklahoma City bombing, to me, it encases so many things worldwide, and you're going to see it. You're going to hear about it yourself. And it's going to make us be able to trust certain venues of news and information a bit more than others. You're going to see why certain names have been changed, interestingly enough. It's all about compartmentalizing, right? Like I love talking about on my shows. And I just want to give you a background before we hear the first clips. I started, all of a sudden, Creator just throws me towards Ted Gunderson. I don't know why. It was all about the Finders program, about the FBI picking kids up off the street at you know, 3-4 years old in a van with darkened windows, whatever. Ted Gunderson had a lot to say in his video that's still up on YouTube. It's called November 2010, and he lays it out for everybody to see, you know, educate on what's going on, the pedophilia, the, you know, Hollywood, the Finders program. I have stuff on my CDs here that I'm going to give you before, during, and after my presentations. He was all over the place. Maybe that's why they had to get rid of him, right? And as you're going to hear in concert with what Cody says and his testimony on OKC, what it was all about and why, and how OKC was a test run for 9/11 with new explosives. Oh, they were trying them out. Oh, yeah, one technician got killed in the process of experimenting with them. But, you know, truck bomb, no. So after my initial listening to Cody's interview with Ole Damegaard, after personally emailing him and then calling him directly and then speaking to him for quite extensively, I should say, about his budding spirituality, which happened to be right down my alley, right? Because that's where I am. He agreed to do a Learn to Unlearn show back then with me the day before he slipped away. The day before the interview, I lost contact with him and he was gone. And in the clips, you're going to hear him say, I had to go black, because that's what he had to do. As a side note, I need to emphasize how much people are going to learn about all this, how big the false flags are, the scope of this one event, as I was saying, and the stuff I left out, because I had to narrow this down to maybe 6 or 7 clips. You're going to hear from me right now what I omitted, which is a college degree that he had in math and physics, SAT score among the top 1% in the country in physics. And he continued to get his master's of science degree in physics. One big reason why he stood out like a sore thumb to be recruited by the CIA/FBI. Also, a new life that emerges after his unspeakable hardships at the hands of the CIA and the FBI, dropping names, places, dates. You can't make this stuff up. So with Cody's personal permission, too, he's actually begging me to share this stuff with anybody who'd listen. I shrunk this interview into 6 clips varying about 5 to 11 minutes each, plus an ending. One that's priceless that it's probably going to make your mouth drop wherever you are. It's a bit long, but it's worth it because it's like being there. It's the next best thing to being there. It's like, you know, when you hear about firsthand information, this is where it is, folks. And this is where we need to go. And I'm, you know, this is something I was sitting on and, you know, well, you know, okay, see, Luca. Yeah, well, I got my show ready for this week. Okay, see, Luca. Yeah, I'm going to be doing it. Always came back all the time. And there's a reason for it. This time, within 2 days, I had thought of it 3 times. I said, you know what? We're going to do this now because it's so important. As, you know, the caller was saying on the last show, you know, this is it unless something is done now. So my idea was, okay, we're going to share it. And we're going to talk about Cody's book as well that you can get online from Amazon. It's called Choosing the Light, The Dark Secrets of the Oklahoma City Bombing. There's very good reasons why everybody wants to try and tear him down and tell everybody what a fool he is and what a conspiracy theorist I would be for playing this on this show. But you know what? It's exactly one of the reasons why I want to do it, because it resonates with me. And this is in my disclaimer for my shows. It resonates with me. I want to share it. What do you think? So in the first clip, he's going to talk about FBI defectors, psychological reasons, and, you know, investigations. He's going to talk. John Kiriakou is one name that we might be aware of. Some of you might already be. The 1991 Project Slammer and the EOD job he was offered. That's explosives or demolition. So let's take a listen to clip one, and I hope everybody's sitting down with their seatbelt on.
I want to fast forward up to 1991, and in September 18th to the 22nd of that year, I was involved in a very high-level assassination program. It was codenamed Project Slammer, and it was with the FBI Behavioral Science Division and the CIA. They were trying to figure out why our spies were defecting to the Russians. One of our station chiefs in Moscow for the CIA was Aldrich Ames, and he had defected, and they caught him and threw him in prison here. And then another FBI counterintelligence officer, Robert Hansen for the FBI, he had been caught selling secrets to the Russians, and they arrested him. And another one of our naval officers, Scott Walker, was selling the Polaris missile telemetry secrets to the Russians from our submarine. So this Project Slammer was created as a way to find out the psychological reasons why spies turn and then develop tests to stop that. And so from this point, I want to just make a caveat that Ole and I always do on an interview like this. I quote the 1982 Intelligence Identity Protection Act, the IIPA. Here in America, we had one of our CIA case officers. His name was John Kerouac, and he was sentenced to 30 months in prison for violating this act because he was one of the first ones to expose what was going on down in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, with the CIA's RDI program. That's the Rendition, Detention, and Interrogation Program. And he let some names slip of active officers, and they gave him 30 months in federal prison. So we don't want to name anyone that's working. We don't want to violate any of the U.S. laws. And these laws are U.S. Code Title 50, Sections 421 and 426. And they state, the disclosure of a U.S. government operative's identity is illegal only if it is done intentionally and with knowledge that the government is still actively maintaining a cover for such operations. So we're not going to name any names except maybe people that are dead or otherwise retired. So we were in 1991, and Project Slammer occurred, and I had died in that program and had to be shocked back. My heart stopped, and they restarted it, and then I died again. They restarted, so I had to really recover for a long time, and I was about to retire anyway by that point. And then in October of 1994, I was called by another contractor, and his name is Harold Leonard. He is deceased now, so I can use his name. And he called me. We went out to a remote area. And we're always very aware about surveillance and being recorded. So we got up under the canopies and the trees, and he offered me the job. A purple and black backpack with $500,000 in U.S. currency. And he said, we have a job for you. And I said, well, what country are we going to? Saudi Arabia, you know, where are we going? And he said, no, it's here in the States. And I said, oh, I said, well, what kind of job is it? And he said, it's an EOD job. That's an explosives and demolitions job. And I said, oh, well, you know, what's the target? And he said, it's a building. It's a federal building. And I said, what? I said, which one? And he said, it's the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. And this was 6 months before anyone ever heard about Tim McVeigh or anything. And he said, we'll give you $500,000 now and $500,000 when the job's done. You can have your standard team, whatever you need to get it done. And I just literally blew up on him. There's no pun intended. But anyway, I told him, I said, there's no way I'm going to do that. I said, these are our own American people. I don't mind going overseas and doing some stuff with terrorists or something like that, but I will not do this. I said, you guys, CIA has went too far, and there's no way I'm going to do this. So at that point, I became a trusted asset, turned from a trusted asset to a liability.
So at this point, okay, this is what's so crucial. He's one of those who does what you just heard, okay? His spirituality refuses. So just remember the spiritual part, because in clip two, what you're now going to hear, not only does he talk about the damage of the detonation, about turning down the job, about alcoholism, his soul crushed, about losing your soul. In one show, I think it was last week even, I threw a quote out from the movie Geronimo where, you know, the lieutenant actually looks at him, says, you know, at his boss, and he says, you know your scriptures, sir? What is it to gain the whole world and to lose your soul, right? You're going to hear him being told you need to leave the country because you know too much. Operation Stingray in 1997 and Littleton, Colorado in 1999. See how everything is tied together. Let's listen to a clip two real quick and we'll go for commercials. No, we won't. We'll probably get phone calls after that. Why don't we do that? Let's listen to clip two first.
And so several months went by, and then in April 19th of 1995, the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building was detonated. And at that time, it killed 168 people. There were about 680 people injured. It damaged 324 buildings over a 16-block radius. It burned or destroyed 86 cars. And it shattered glass in about a little less than 260 buildings.
Right,
and the total damage, yeah, the total damage with the cleanup and everything was $652 million U.S. So it was a pretty big bombing. And the reasons why this was ordered, this will be discussed later, but it's quite an amazing story, and a lot of people haven't heard it. When I turned that job down, I told them, I said, I'd had a lot of broken bones and nerve damage. I died in the hospital. I had severe PTSD, that's post-traumatic stress disorder,
for sure,
from all the things we did. And when we got back from an operation in the States, I was drinking. I began to drink heavily to cover my... I was having bad dreams and waking up kicking and screaming and stuff. And my soul was being crushed. Yes, it was a spiritual awakening. When I died in the hospital in Project Slammer, I had a near-death experience and so forth. And we can talk about that later. But, so I was at the end of my rope. I had seen too much ugliness, and I couldn't take it anymore. And if I had done this evil act, I would have lost my soul. Yeah. And so... when I heard about it, I thought they were going to come kill me to shut me up because I knew about it. Mm-hmm. And right after the bombing, one of my handlers, he called me. He was, his name is Duke Flaglier, and he's deceased now. He was a special forces soldier in Vietnam and did two tours there. And when he got out, he accepted civilian recruitment with the CIA. And he'd been over in Europe and around, mostly in Europe, doing his operations there. But he had come back to the States at that time. And he called me and he said, Cody, you need to leave the country. And I said, what? And I said, why? I said, I'm not going to say anything. Nobody knows. And he says, you don't understand. He says, you know way, way too much. And when you turn that job down, you turn from an asset to a liability. And he says, you need to get out of the country. And I've got some keys I can get you. I have a place down in Belize in Central America. And you go stay down there right now. You stay there, and I'll come down and meet you, and then we're going to move you somewhere. And I told him, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to say anything. I didn't do anything. I haven't done anything illegal regarding this job. And so what I did was I had some false identities, false passports. We had disguised kids. Fake driver's license and so forth. That's called tradecraft. And so I went deep black and disappeared and showed up at some associates' houses down in Oklahoma. I had previously been a petroleum geophysicist in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is about, I don't know, 80 or 100 miles to Oklahoma City. And we had a large, we had a network of safe houses there from our operations over in Arkansas, which were codenamed Centaur Rose, Jade Bridge, and Screwworm. And they dealt with arming the Nicaraguans down there in the regional conflict that was occurring at the time between the Sandinistas with Daniel Ortega's president. He was a communist leader, communist president there. I have some friends that, had dinner with him at his house. And, then the U.S. was supporting the Contras against them. So we were involved in all that. But if you fast forward now, we are in April 19th, 1995. The Murrah Building had just been bombed. I'd been warned by my CIA handler to leave the country. Instead of leaving the country, I went black. I went covert and went to safe houses and stayed a while. And then I ended up leaving the U.S. for a little bit, and then I came back. And so meanwhile, Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols, they were both Desert Storm soldiers in the 1991 Desert Storm. And so, they had, done the Ryder truck and so forth. They were ended up being patsies. What they really were patsies, unknowingly, of course. And then they had been charged with that bombing, and they'd been arrested. And so some years went by, and they were waiting and preparing for the trial. And I had come back to Colorado Springs, Colorado. I had previously been one of the biggest gun dealers in Colorado. That was a civilian front. We had we were the biggest machine gun, silencer, sawed-off shotgun dealers in the state. And here in America, if you get a federal license, it's called an NFA license, National Firearm Act, you can legally buy and sell machine guns and silencers and stuff with all the proper stuff. So after that bombing, years went by, and in 1997, that's just 2 years later, after the Murrah building was bombed, Timothy McVeigh and Nichols were waiting trial. The ATF and the DEA, that's the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the Drug Enforcement Administration, conducted a joint operation called Operation Stingray. And during the course of that operation, I met one of their undercover agents. His name was Blake L. Butler, and he was later to be awarded the nation's top cop. That's an award here in America federally, where all the tens of thousands of federal agents, he was awarded that by Vice President Al Gore and United States Attorney General Janet Reno. So this was pretty high-level stuff. But I met him, and then one day, in April 20th, 1999, they had a massive high school shooting in Denver, Colorado, in a suburb called Littleton.
Right. So now we're in 1999, and you have Littleton, Colorado, okay? And then you have Assange's quote that says that, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it right under my nose, but he says something like, almost all terror plots are created by the FBI as a part of their business model. See, this is why callers and why shows like Stephen Douglas Whitener's earlier are so important. Because people are telling us the truth. People are just validating what we're seeing, what we're hearing, especially the older people who have lived longer and who've seen a lot more and who've been active maybe 20 or 30 years more than we have, right? So these are the people worth listening to. But I find this story by Cody extraordinary, because even if it's all made up, which I don't think it is, you can take every single point and trace it to what, you know, he's telling the truth. Every single thing lines up, as far as I'm concerned, from what I'm, you know, I'm sharing with you. Even the DU, the depleted uranium scandal that most people don't know anything about, that's directly involved with that. Why? Well, you're going to hear that that's one of the reasons why they wanted to take down the federal building in OKC, because that's where the files were stored for all the medical files, all the medical files, hundreds of thousands of them from veterans, no file, no payment. And they also, I'm spilling the beans here, but they also wanted to get rid of the annoying Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, you know, FBI problems and legal problems that are starting to pile up. And, you know, everything goes in that building. You know, this is what they do from day to day. And this is why it's so important to share, because, you know, it's, talk about compartmentalizing. This guy is all over the place, but he's so well organized, and he's talking like a soldier. He talks about stuff that you're supposed to talk about when you're supposed to talk about it. He's not a slouch, and the spirituality part of it has yet to come. Let's listen to clip three, and thank you very much, Sam, for taking off the first commercial.
In Colorado. And there was a bunch of children killed, and it was a very horrible thing. It was all over the news. And on April 22nd, 2 days later, I was with undercover agent Blake Butler, and President Bill Clinton and Janet Reno were all over the TV. And he asked me, what do you think about them? So I thought we were all alone. I did not know that they had hidden 4mm cameras in there. And I started talking about Bill Clinton and the pedophile rings and the drug rings and sex rings with Hillary Clinton down in Arkansas during Operation Centaur Rose. And I talked about Janet Reno because one of my friends from Vietnam, Captain Glenn Wilson, he had worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency after he got back from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And he also worked as head of the No-Knock Narcotics Police mm-hmm. down in Dade County, Florida, where Janet Reno was previous to her appointment by Bill Clinton as U.S. Attorney General. Mm-hmm. So this is a lot of political stuff, okay? And I'm getting to the main thing. But so I talked about all these ops and CIA stuff. And so 5 months later, September 16th, 1999, Blake Butler planted me with false evidence. The CIA took the tapes and disappeared them because they didn't want anyone knowing about this stuff. So they planted me with false evidence. Yeah, yeah, so they threw me in prison. And the judge that they put me in front of in the 10th Circuit Federal Courts was a man named Judge Edward Nottingham. Yeah. And it turns out, Irma and Ole, he was appointed by none other than the ex-director of Central Intelligence, George Bush Sr., back in the 1970s. Yeah. Then the prosecutor was Tom Strickland, and he was directly appointed by President Bill Clinton. Yeah. And Tom Strickland had worked in a law firm with Brownstein, Hyatt, and Faber, and Norman Brownstein, the principal of that law firm, had worked with the Council of Six in the CIA. They were a group of six attorneys mm-hmm. back in the 70s under George Bush. So the fix was in on this case. You know, the courts were being stacked. The judges was appointed by the CIA. Everything was controlled. Yeah, we have in this book, it's 362-sided pages. We have all the information. We have documents, court records. We have ATF surveillance tapes. We have counter-surveillance tapes. I have over 20,000 pages of documentation. But we have a lot of this documented. Some of the black ops stuff cannot be documented because there's no records, of course. But the stuff that can be, we have a large volume of evidence to substantiate what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. So to make a long story short, they planted me with evidence. There was another operative in this op. His name was Kerry James Gagan. Mm-hmm. And he was given C4 plastic explosives to go down to Trinidad, Colorado. He met three Middle Eastern men. They had plans to bomb them. They had plans for the Murrah building. And he came back. He thought he was going to be a patsy like McVeigh. He got spooked. He went to the Secret Service office in Denver and told them about it. The CIA found out about it. Then they planted his house with evidence, and they threw him in there with me and Timothy McVeigh. So they planted two of us that had operational knowledge of this thing, and then they pinned the bombing on McVeigh. So there was a massive cover-up in the court system, and I can go more and talk about all this if you want, but if you want to, if you don't have any questions, we can start talking about the real reasons why. We have to go back just a little bit in history, and I have to lay some background so the people in Netherlands will understand. They may not know some of the stuff that America was doing.
Go ahead.
But back in...
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And the judge that they put me in front of in the 10th Circuit Federal Courts was a man named Judge Edward Nottingham. Yeah. And it turns out, Irma and Ole, he was appointed by none other than the ex-director of Central Intelligence, George Bush Sr., back in the 1970s. Yeah. Then the prosecutor was Tom Strickland, and he was directly appointed by President Bill Clinton. Yeah. And Tom Strickland had worked in a law firm with Brownstein, Hyatt, and Faber, and Norman Brownstein, the principal of that law firm, had worked with the Council of Six in the CIA. They were a group of six attorneys back in the 70s under George Bush. So the fix was in on this case. You know, the courts were being stacked. The judges was appointed by the CIA. Everything was controlled. Yeah, we have in this book, it's 362-sided pages. We have all the information. We have documents, court records. We have ATF surveillance tapes. We have counter-surveillance tapes. I have over 20,000 pages of documentation. But we have a lot of this documented. Some of the black ops stuff cannot be documented because there's no records, of course. But the stuff that can be, we have a large volume of evidence to substantiate what I'm saying here. So to make a long story short, they planted me with evidence. There was another operative in this op. His name was Kerry James Gagan, and he was given C4 plastic explosives to go down to Trinidad, Colorado. He met three Middle Eastern men. They had plans to bomb them. They had plans of the Murrah building. and he came back. He thought he was going to be a patsy like McVay. He got spooked. He went to the Secret Service office in Denver and told them about it. The CIA found out about it. Then they planted his house with evidence, and they threw him in there with me and Timothy McVay. So they planted two of us that had operational knowledge of this thing, and then they pinned the bombing on McVay. So there was a massive cover-up in the court system, and I can go more and talk about all this if you want, but if you want to, if you don't have any questions, we can start talking about the real reasons why. We have to go back just a little bit in history, and I have to lay some background so the people in Netherlands will understand. They may not know some of the stuff that America was doing.
Go ahead.
But back in the 80s, Saddam Hussein was in Iraq. Mm-hmm. He had come to power, and they began a war with Iran. And Iran enjoyed a 10-to-1 infantry soldier advantage over Iraq. Saddam Hussein was a paid asset for the Central Intelligence Agency. He was working for us, and
what?
He was more or less our ally.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
And so that's why Donald Rumsfeld, who was the Secretary of Defense here in the United States at the time, he flew over to Baghdad and met him. We were providing Saddam with satellite intelligence, and also we were covertly arming him. And one of the things we gave him was a weaponized strain of anthrax. It's called the Ames strain of anthrax. It was made at Fort Detrick, Maryland. It has a small spore size and a altered protein coat so that it's weaponized. It will infect people easier. And we gave him that to overcome in case Iran invaded. They were going to use that stuff. And so what happened was Saddam Hussein finished the war with Iran, and he still kept all of this these biological agents. And then he invaded Kuwait. And the Saudis were afraid he would come into their country, so they put pressure on George Bush and our government over here. And so George Bush and them decided to invade Kuwait and liberate it and kick Saddam out. And now Saddam was just like me. He had changed from an asset to a liability. And so they had to demonize him. And then we were worried, since we had covertly given these biological anthrax agents to him, and they didn't tell the American people, they were afraid that if we sent our troops over there, that they would use them on us. Mm-hmm. So the standard vaccine was a 6-month course, one shot per month to build immunity. And they didn't have time. They had to go over to Kuwait. They couldn't wait 6 months. So what they did was create a new anthrax vaccine. And they used an adjunct called squalene. It was never before used. It's basically shark oil, similar to the adjuncts or autoimmune boosters that they use in flu shots. You know, the Therasol that had the mercury in it and the aluminum-based adjuncts. All this stuff makes people sick. And so they bypassed FDA testing. Here in America, they have a thing in the federal government's Food and Drug Administration, that's FDA. And under law, when you come up with a new vaccine, you're required to test it. Mm-hmm. Well, they bypassed all that, and they got the anthrax shot down to 1 month with one shot to hurry it up and rush it through. And so they gave that to all of our guys over here. The British also were sold that same vaccine because their troops were going over there. And a lot of them got sick, a lot of our guys got sick. It was made by a company called Bioport here in the States. Mm-hmm. And so Desert Storm lasted, and everyone was getting sick. Now, I'm getting to the Murrah Building here, the reason why. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the background. They also used depleted uranium weapons over there in that war. That's the first time America had used depleted uranium-238. It was in the bullets they shot out of the A-10 Warthog airplanes and the tanks that we used, okay? Mm-hmm. And these weapons were high velocity and slightly radioactive, and when they hit the targets, they made fireballs in the sky. Mm-hmm. And in the heat of those fireballs, new, brand new elements, compounds were created, like uranium dioxide. And the particulate size of these compounds were approximately 4 microns. Now, the MOP gear, the gas mask and the biological, nuclear, and chemical gear that's standard issue to U.S. and British troops, they go down to about 10 microns. So these new particles of low-level radioactivity were being breathed in. And when the troops breathed them in, they concentrate in the human body in two basic places. One of them is the thyroid glands in the throat, and then in the ovaries for a woman and the testicles for a man. And so what was happening over a period of time was our troops were, and there were 28 nations in the coalition, you know, in that war. But the American and British troops, they were breathing this stuff and didn't know it because it had never been used before. And so years later, when they got back to their respective countries, they began getting sick. And when the soldiers got home, they, you know, made love to their wives, and they were transmitting low-level radiation in their semen. It was going into their wives. Then their wives would have children. Then the radiation would be transferred to the child, and then down to the grandchildren, and so forth. And so what we were seeing here is a big multi-generational thing. And so a few years after the war, in about 1994, just before the Murrah Building was bombed, there was a senator here in the United States. All of our Gulf War guys were getting sick. There's approximately 480,000 troops. And they called it failure to thrive syndrome. The children were being born, and they had all these problems, autoimmune disorders. Our soldiers were sick. The VA hospitals, the Veterans Administration hospitals were filling up. And so they started hearings to determine how much money to give our soldiers as payment. And Senator Chris Shays, he was a Republican in Connecticut, they had hearings. He ordered the FBI to go around and collect all the medical records. They were having hearings scheduled, and this could turn into hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of medical costs. All the way down from son to grandson, they did not know how many generations this radiation would be genetically transferred. And so they went to collect all the records, and guess where the records were stored? So when the records were blown up and destroyed, the Pentagon and the government were off the hook for hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of future medical costs.
There you go. That ends clip three. And right off the bat, I just want to say very quickly, I'm sorry to the callers, but this has to be played the whole way through. We're going to go through the rest of it in the next show. But I want to take a breather also to give people a chance to call back in at 512-248-8252 and 1-800-313-9443. A couple of things I'm noticing. Okay, so we gave Saddam a weaponized strain of anthrax. And then he says, poor Dietrich, Maryland. Okay. From the very beginning, when I was learning about COVID, what's the name that I hear dropped? Fort Dietrich, Maryland, 2015, under Obama, remember? No, United States can't do that. We have laws against it. Okay, so bring it to China. That's another rabbit hole. So, you know, no, it's like we don't probably... Very few of us know what the truth is because it's so well being played. And there are so many different avenues of deceit and whatever going on in every direction. That was one big one. The other one was about depleted uranium. I could do an entire show on that because you have a guy by the name of Dr. Doug Roke or Rock, R-O-K-K-E. If you want to know about depleted uranium and what it is and what it does to us. Go on YouTube and punch his name in. This stuff is pretty extraordinary, and I almost don't have any words for it because it shows you in black and white. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, like we like saying. And to be in the same jail cell as Tim McVeigh. You're going to hear a lot more in the fourth installment. This is all about demonizing good people. And Hitler, unfortunately, was one that we demonized as well, exactly in the same fashion. And this is probably one thing that John Stadmiller had noticed and wanted to talk about, like I do, because I'm seeing it and I have German in me. And everywhere you look, no, that's not the way it was. No, that's not the way it was. Could there possibly be a connection between the seven countries in 5 years? And how quickly they got rid of Hitler? Oh, yeah, well, because Churchill was getting rid of so many countries before that. Genociding here, genociding there for Britain, you know. Yeah, Kenya should, the fertile lands of Kenya should be only for white farmers, and we'll call the rest blackamoors or gas them or do something with them, you know. This is the way they operate. We know it. People that do the research know it. They don't use, you know, the swastika and the flag to say, oh, bad, bad, bad Nazi, you know. Once you find out what the word Nazi comes from and why it was invented and by who, you know that, you know, that it's just talking propaganda if you want to go down that road. So you've got to be very careful about where you go. There are six clips in all. We're probably going to play the next three on the next show. We have a caller. Good timing from Lauren in Ohio. Lauren, you're on the air on Luca's World. How are you?
Oh, great, Luca. And what a topic to cover. And this, I just want to knit this whole thing together for you. So I was a drug rep in the 80s, and I worked for the company that makes the midazolam that's killing the people when they put them in the hospital, and that has the drug for malaria, and that makes the test for the COVID. And
yep.
What I'm going to say is this has been intentional. It's Anthony Fauci from the beginning, from AIDS in the 80s to mycoplasma in 2000. That's that paper I keep begging people to read. Mycoplasma, the linking pathogen in neurosystemic diseases by Professor Donald Scott, 2001, where it's a 10-page paper. In the paper, it tells you that the weapon mycoplasma, which Merck, Sharp, and Dohme developed, and they're talking about it in a Senate hearing in 1977, where they acknowledge that in 1949, George Merck of the company Merck, Sharp, and Dohme, which now makes cures for the diseases it one time created, has put mycoplasma into a crystal
Say that
form.
Again. Say that again. Made the diseases for the ones they create. How did you say that? Make the
It's at the top of the third page, and they're talking about a Senate hearing where these issues were being discussed. George Merck of the company Merck, Sharp, and Dohme had testified that in 1949 they created mycoplasma, a crystalline that's the base of this weapon. The four worst human glycoproteins in AIDS, they created AIDS. That's what's in the spike protein
another
of the COVID shot.
Yeah.
It's another bioweapon. But see how it's stacked on itself? First AIDS, which was mycoplasma, which is Vesnavirus, that's sheep AIDS, merged with Brucella bacteria, which is cow arthritis. That crystal that they created, Merck, Sharp, and Dohme created, they then infected the population with it. They put it into mosquitoes. They put it in a, you know, that's where your chronic fatigue, your fibromyalgia, that's where that comes from. The chronic wasting that you were just talking about with the soldiers, that's, I think, about page 4, where they're going over the dose. If you give it 10 to the 10th, you get AIDS. Your immune system completely fails. If it's 10 to the 8th, it's,
let me just stay there for a second. Let me just stay there for a minute, because my heart wants to say that sending the troops out. Now, listen to this, folks. Okay, please listen. Sending the folks out to clean up the mess, as Schwarzenegger said, in shorts, 100-degree weather, they know what they're cleaning up. It's all DUs, and they got sick within 72 hours or 48. I'm not sure. Doug Roke talks about that. So it has to be deliberate. It's more like they don't care. I think that's more what it is.
No, it's not they don't care. They care very much. They are eliminating our military, our whole – think about it. They gave these shots to the backbone of this country. And now what do you have? Job shortages, and you're losing skill sets. You're losing the older people who actually know how to do something. All these kids know how to do is go to their cubicle and punch on their computer. That, you know, that ain't going to save you, honey. So, but anyway, back to this, and what you were saying, now the radiation comes from the G5 towers. Okay, so in Iraq, what you do is when you combine mycoplasma with fungus, you speed up the damage. Okay, when you weaken body systems, you pollute the body with genetically modified food and MSG and NutraSweet. There, Donald Rumsfeld, once again, bringing you aspartame. Okay,
oh, there's that music again. We got that music again, Lauren. We got to take a break, and we got the short segment coming up. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, Lauren, and please check your proton mail. Stay on the phone. We'll be right back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And that's how I started. Set two, when I was playing drums, that's exactly the song we used on the second set when I started. I would start the whole song like that. That's precious. We still have Lauren from Ohio on the line, do we not?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to, before the end of the show, I just have to include you in on this because this is really important. This is why I wanted the show to go at the end. If I can only accomplish one thing with my shows, it's to offer arrows. It's to offer clues. It's to offer directions like where to go. The proof is out there that it's not done in good faith, nor is it done for the people. And because I lived matriarchy for the last 25 years or more, because that's what my soul is made of, and you're a matriarch too, so you know what I'm talking about, Lauren. It's you know when things are wrong, and you listen to your soul, and it's screaming right now. Because so I said, okay, make a show where you can go, oh, okay, look at OKC, look at 9/11, look at the seven countries in 5 years, look at Hitler, look at Saddam, you know, Assad, look at Gaddafi. It's all done to kill and to hurt and to maim and to profit from, Lauren.
And see, that's perfect. And that's what I'm saying for people to understand that this COVID, it's not the end of it. And you have to understand who's involved. The CIA, the NIH, the CDC, the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology holds the patent, Dr. Shai-Ching Lo, for mycoplasma. For people, so they know what it is. They knew what was killing the soldiers, and they didn't save them. So this is what we need people to understand. And I'm talking about patriots and military people. Nobody is talking down your service to the country. My uncle just died. He was murdered in the street, living as a homeless veteran, and lost his spot when he went into the hospital. And when he came out, he's in a wheelchair from MS, from, you know, Vietnam, getting sprayed with Agent Orange. And, well, he was killed. He was stabbed to death. And so this is what I mean. We have got to, you know, Farron on his show, he was talking about one out of every 179 Americans is going to be killed if we keep up this the way we're living right now. So you have to understand, and you have to start turning your back and saying no and paying attention and sharing Republic Broadcasting, sharing this show. Clip this out. Take this and send it to your friends so they understand that the people they're trusting to save them are the people who are destroying them, and that most of the time they don't even know. You see, the one guy went to the Secret Service. He was like, oh, my God. You know, people want to do the right thing, but you can't do the right thing without information. So I love what you're doing. I love the feel of the show and the format and just everything you're doing. So
let me just throw this at you, because I don't want you to go, and I miss your shows. And I did send you a proton mail.
I'm bad about that. My daughter does my mail.
This is all really relative to Native American spirituality and philosophy, if anybody really wants to get into it, because it's all about the Native Americans going, no. It's called
Wetiko. Well, and the Native Americans are the number one negatively affected target of this product. It goes Indians, Native Americans, Blacks, Hispanics.
You wonder why.
So they are the target.
Yeah, because they're the, you know, the matriarchal tribes were the most powerful ones. So what do? You dumb them down. You give them boxed food, GMOs.
Well, they were respecters of truth. That's why they needed to get rid of them. Their life was in truth.
A whole other show is needed for that. Thank you so much. I'm hearing that music again. That means we got to go.
Yeah, God bless.
Thank you for everything, Lauren. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll be doing part two of this show next week. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.